You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing unto thee, for you are our rock and you are our Redeemer. Amen. There are beautiful and small towns scattered throughout the American South whose days in many ways have seemingly come and gone, their respective historic existence being based upon a late 19th or early 20th century mechanized farming or industrial economy, economies that once made that town thrive, but simply aren't around anymore. If they're lucky, those places now have a car manufacturing plant that occupies the town, or maybe a regional hospital. But most likely, the major ways to make a living there have come and gone. If you were to take a two-lane highway out of Birmingham and drive for an hour in any direction, you'd see them. You'd see these beautiful, picturesque, small towns, but places with which time has seemingly passed them by. I'm not saying this to take away the dignity of these places, nor the people that presently inhabit them, but to be honest about them is to say that they are places that were once full of people, yet the downtowns now sit derelict, waiting for either a time that isn't returning or simply for the end of time itself, with the knowledge that it once was a place that meant something. It once was a place that had life. I find places like this to be metaphorical for parts of our lives, or perhaps the whole of life itself, that has experienced a sea change. In other words, what happens when aspects of our lives which had felt good and successful and right and dependable, like cash crops in Limestone County, or the value of liberal arts colleges in America, and they suddenly become abandoned by the world around it? What happens when life says to you, in the words of Michael McDonald, "I keep forgetting we're not in love anymore"? Let me ask you directly, what is part of your life that feels like a beautiful storefront that's been empty for a decade now? What's a part of your life that has paint flaking on the doorframe? Concerning the text we have before us in Exodus chapter 1, one wonders the state of the Hebrews in Egypt at the time of a major sea change in the life of their people. Prior to this moment, the Hebrews, God's people, they were people who had been rescued by one of their own. Joseph, though sold into slavery, remarkably rose to power in Egypt. He was an advisor. He was the advisor. He was a Tom Hagen of sorts to Pharaoh, who saved both the Egyptian and the Hebrews that sojourned there from a cataclysmic famine in the region. And in the years that followed, God was with Joseph and the Hebrews. God blessed Joseph and the Hebrews in Egypt. They built charming little small towns next to the tire factory and the grits mill and the liberal arts college. And we know that times were good. There was a time of tremendous blessing until something changed. Until, and I quote, "There arose a new king in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, 'Behold, the people of Israel are too mighty and too many for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them.'" Let us deal shrewdly with them. Now, that's what he said, but what might he have said to you? He might have said, "There arose a new king in Egypt in your life who didn't know you, who said, 'We're making your position redundant.' There arose a new king in your life that said, 'A major policy change is going to affect life as you know it, and there is nothing that you can do about it.' who arose in your life and said, I don't love you anymore. I've met someone else. You looked in the mirror and you said, you know, I'm not that young anymore. It may be hard for us this morning to contextualize the ancient Near Eastern stranger in a strange land dynamic here, but we do know what it's like to have a sea change in our lives. We know what it's like to experience change and the pain that follows. Now, often when this happens, and it does happen. When this happens, often, but not always, but often, our minds go binary really quickly. We see door number one, and we say, this is the end of life as I know it. I will die. Or we say, I will succeed in this circumstance if it's the last thing that I do. Now, this is a fruit of the law. The law which says, face what is before you, and on your own, die, or die trying. We see this, by the way, in macro societal scales that have tremendous say in our lives. We read about climate change. We read about AI taking over the world. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, and we wonder, what is the outcome of this for me? What is the outcome of this for my children? And we also just long for the days when beautiful southern downtowns didn't sit derelict. We long for the days when we could stand outside all day long and not get sunburned, which I hear was a thing. I don't believe it. When college was affordable, when iPhones didn't exist, and the Hebrews longed for a day when Pharaoh wasn't killing their babies, when they weren't making bricks without straw, when they lived in a land when one of their own, Joseph, was their mediator and advocate and protector and their source of blessing. They longed for that. Now, Pharaoh represents here the same things in the lives of the Hebrews as he does to you. Pharaoh represents a power that is bigger than you are, that will be disruptive in your life when times are seemingly good. This can happen, this has happened, this will happen. And what do we do when the music stops? What do we do when the weeds start to grow through the cracks on the sidewalk that is our lives? What do we do when we ache for change, when we yearn for help? Some of you are familiar with the work of Howard Ashman. Ashman was a late 20th century American playwright who, while being accomplished in other areas, wrote the lyrics to the classics Beauty and the Beast and The Little Mermaid, of which I am highly familiar these days. At present, I have 3 daughters under 5 and a minivan. This is all that we listen to. And Howard says this, and I think it's important. He says, in almost every musical ever written, there's a place that's usually about the 3rd song of the evening. Sometimes it's the 2nd, sometimes it's the 4th, but it's quite early. And the leading lady usually sits down on something. Sometimes it's a tree stump in Brigadoon. Sometimes it's under the pillars of Covent Garden in My Fair Lady, or it's a trash can in Little Shop of Horrors, but she sits down on something, and she sings about what she wants in life. And the audience falls in love with her, and they root for her to get it for the rest of the evening. As we know with these characters, there's always a sea change in their lives at this juncture. There's always something they want. They have dreams, but perhaps their father, who they love, won't let them marry who they want to. Or the mother superior at a convent in the Austrian Alps tells a vivacious young woman she isn't called to be a nun, and her life is to be led in the outside world. And amid that tension, they wonder what life would be like if there was a change. They wonder what it would be like if someone entered their life and changed it. As Ariel, the mermaid princess, says, what would I do? What would I do to see you smiling at me? Isn't that what we're asking when the door frame of our lives hasn't seen someone walk through it in a while? Isn't that what we're asking when the music has stopped or when something or someone has moved on? We find ourselves sitting down with our elbows on our knees and our heads in our hands saying, what would I do to see you smiling at me? Until we get to Moses at its conclusion, in this text, there are five people that have names. We have Joseph, who represents prosperity and blessing and God's blessing. We have Pharaoh, who represents disruption and chaos and pain and change and a gravitational pull that's bigger than you are. And we have the names of the Hebrew midwives, Shiprah and Puah, ordinary people, ordinary women, who represent hope. And not just hope, who represent divine hope, who represent God's hope. And with that, I'll ask you, what do we do when we face door number one and door number two? When we are faced with life-altering circumstances and sea changes that we can seemingly do nothing about? Because experience has taught us that there's not a whole lot we can do to change the big circumstances of our lives. It's near impossible. And while one cannot climb into the minds of these Hebrew midwives, we are simply told in the text, they feared the Lord. Shiprah and Puah, they feared the Lord. They feared God. When they were told to fear Pharaoh in their circumstances and in their sea change, they feared God. And let me tell you why. It wasn't because they were afraid of God worse than Pharaoh. It was because God had delivered them before. Because God had blessed them before. Because God had caused them to prosper in their deliverance in Egypt, a land that was not their own. And they believed that he would again. My encouragement to you this morning, in whatever your sea change is, when you look at door number one, and you look at door number two, and when you ask with your head in your hands, what would I do to see you smiling at me? Is to hear the gospel, to hear the good news that you have a mediator and you have an advocate who is smiling at you. I invite you to see his face, the Lord of heaven and earth, your Redeemer, your hope, Jesus the Christ, who has come into this world with power and in his own good timing and by his Spirit will come into your life, will come into the main street that is your life again and again and again. Heavenly Father, we come to you with our paint desperate door frames, with our sidewalks that have weeds growing through the cracks. And we ask that you intervene, because you are powerful and you are good and you are eternally smiling upon us. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.